Despite the natural wonders of our region, we have a few ongoing environmental challenges, and this time of year, one of them begins to reappear. When the heating season starts, people begin burning wood once again in fireplaces and wood stoves, and in the less breezy areas, the smoke hangs around. The issue gets plenty of attention from local, state, and federal environmental agencies, and now the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality is suing the Federal Environmental Protection Agency over handling of wood smoke. We have a guest with us from the Lane Regional Air Protection Agency, LRAPA. Merlin Huff is the director of that agency and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange today, and a former employee, we should point out, of DEQ as well. Merlin, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Jeffrey. Good to talk to you.
Just the physics of wood smoke, could you explain what goes on in these western valleys over the course of these winters?
Well, generally, our air quality is quite good, but we have problems on those stagnant winter days with residential wood burning from wood stoves or fireplaces. Those concentrations can build up, especially in the nighttime hours, and go in violation of the health standards for particulate matter.
And so what's it, the particulate matter? And notice that this is the first time I've seen some discussion in the materials released from the Oregon Justice Department about the lawsuit that we're describing particulate matter as soot. Is that the alternate term for it?
Soot's a common term for those particles that are part of that standard.
And how do the how does the small particulate pollution hurt us?
Well, the smaller the particles are, the deeper they go into the lungs and cause different types of respiratory problems. Our bodies are more effective at catching large particles, like more in the dust size range. But when you get down to that soot or smoke range, those particles are small enough to go into the lungs and create some respiratory problems.
Oh, so they get in and stay in. They can't be ejected by coughing or something else?
Right. And with wood combustion, we enjoy the smell of some of that smoke, or at least some people do. But there are some air toxics of concern that are in wood smoke, and those have been well reported over the years. But there's a group called the benzoapyrene that's considered of concern because of its cancer-causing properties. And then there's a group of compounds called the PAHs, or the polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons. So there are some air toxics that are in it in addition to the particles themselves.
And these are just naturally occurring things in the wood, not from any sort of treatment or anything else?
Right. They're a natural part of wood combustion, whether it's in your wood stove or fireplace, or if it's just burnt in a open pile.
All right, we've been talking about wood smoke for a long time in the region. I mean, how long has it been regulated by the federal government, and then obviously triggers the action of the state and local governments?
Well, just a real quick history. Back in the 70s, with rising fuel prices, there was a lot of people converting to wood to heat their homes. So back in the 1970s, we saw, especially here in Oregon, a lot of new stove manufacturers start, airtight wood stove designs. And in the 1970s, the increases in smoke from wood stoves were basically negating a lot of the progress that had been made to reduce industrial air pollution. That was a concern, and in the 1980s, we saw a lot of efforts here, and Oregon was a real leader in the 80s, to figure out what is the most cost-effective way to keep the energy resource of wood burning, but not exacerbate air pollution problems. So two key things that came, well, more than two, but let me talk about two or three or four things.
Okay.
One was in the short term, people were asked not to burn on those most critical stagnant air days in the winter. And depending on the valley of Oregon, that could be 10, 20, 30 days during November to February that were the critical days. Another thing was to a lot of education on burning stoves more cleanly. Season your firewood. Use clean, dry firewood. Burn smaller, hotter fires. don't damper down overnight. You know, that was one of the big features of the stoves manufactured in the 70s was big fireboxes. You could dampen them way down. You could keep a fire going through the night. Well, from an air pollution standpoint, that is not a good thing. And then maybe, I guess, one of the most notable things in the 80s was the Oregon legislature adopted the first wood stove certification program in the country in 1983. Oregon DEQ and Environmental Quality Commission put those into specific rules that started affecting stoves sold after 1986. EPA looked at that need nationally and adopted a national program very closely patterned after the Oregon program. And that is the subject of this lawsuit. Basically, it's been 25 years since EPA did that, and it's a part of the Clean Air Act called New Source Performance Standards. EPA is supposed to review every 8 years and look at the technology available and adopt tighter standards if appropriate. And so that's what the eight states are doing, including, I guess there's seven states, and then also the Puget Sound Clean Air Agency up in the Seattle area. Oregon is one of the seven states asking EPA to adopt more current technology standards for wood stoves and also to include outdoor wood boilers.
Wood boilers used by whom?
Primarily by homeowners. They're more popular up in the Northeast states, but that would be basically an outdoor boiler facility, burning wood, that then provides heat and hot water into the home.
All right. Merlin Huff's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's the director of LRAPA, the Lane Regional Air Protection Authority Agency. And you can join us here on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about wood stoves and their regulation and the fact that Oregon is joining several other states in suing the federal EPA over wood stove regulation and monitoring. Join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. By email, jx@jeffnet.org. So from what you were saying, Merlin, then, that Oregon really led the way, and so the EPA ended up adopting the standards that Oregon had first laid out before that.
Yes. And over the last few decades, well, from 1980, some late 80s forward, we have seen steady progress in air quality in all of the Oregon communities. But what was happening also is nationally, these health studies done throughout the country, they were realizing that the air quality standards needed to be more protective. And so there's been in the 1990s, and then again in 2006, the standards were tightened in order to be more protective. And so we've had to continue that progress. We're within standards here, for example, in Eugene, Springfield, and Oak Ridge, we're almost in attainment with the new standard. In both areas, there's been tremendous improvement, very strong improving trends over the last few decades. But Oak Ridge, we need to get a little bit further, and so that's been a key part of our focus here in Lane County.
So what have been the reasons for the improvement? Is it generally because you're getting the newer, cleaner-burning stoves into homes and the older, more polluting ones are out? For one thing, they can't stay in a house when it's sold. Is that right?
Right. Heat Smart legislation was adopted in the legislature a couple sessions ago, and that requires that when a home is sold, that if it has a non-certified wood stove, that the stove has to be removed from service. It can be replaced with a certified stove, or it can just be removed. And that's the more permanent long-term solution, is to get cleaner and cleaner technology in homes as stoves are replaced. You know, if they have a useful life of 20 years, and of course that's going to vary depending on how much it's used, but if they're replaced every 15 to 25 years, then you're getting the better technology. And that's the more permanent solution. Or some people, especially here in Eugene, Springfield, have replaced fireplaces with a gas fireplace, which is much cleaner burning. the short-term solution, and we're in Oak Ridge because we need to meet this newer, tighter standard here within the next year or two. We're also asking for increased cooperation on those red days, those 10 or on average about 10 or 12 red days per year when we've got those stagnant air conditions that allow smoke buildup.
And I notice the heating season is November 1st through February 28th. So is there ever any non-attainment before or after those days?
Well, we see the pattern on these cold nights that we've had here recently. We see that the smoke levels go up significantly, whether it's Eugene or Springfield or Cottage Grove or Oak Ridge. We have continuous monitors measuring the particle levels. And we see that, you know, it's quite clean in the mid-afternoon. You know, the sun, one benefit of the sun heating the ground is it gives good air movement. And so we have good air quality in the afternoons and then higher smoke levels through the nighttime hours. But we're still, in the good to moderate range here in October. And I expect that'll be the case all the way through October. Usually it's November, December, January, February that we've got the days of concern.
Less sunlight, less air movement, less everything, except a lot more smoke, it seems like.
Right. Less slower wind speeds, and then you have the temperature inversion that forms in the nighttime hours on those winter days and kind of puts a lid on especially the valley like up in Oak Ridge, and that's when you have the smoke levels go up even higher during the nighttime hours.
All right, Merlin Huff's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking wood smoke. Here's a couple of calls. Pam and Dexter, you're up first. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Merlin Huff.
Hi. Well, last week in Lane County, there was a lot of slash burning by the timber industry, and it just drives me crazy, these huge amounts of slash that are burnt just because it's the cheapest, most convenient way for the timber industry to get rid of it. And even on the local news, they're like, oh, yeah, there's a lot of smoke in the valley. Oh, they're burning slash. So why aren't we talking about prohibiting or even banning slash burning and having them? I saw an accelerated mechanism to chip the wood, which would put the wood back into the soil, which would help it decompose faster, which is what we need for topsoil health. And, you know, it seems like a sacred cow. We want to cut down on people heating their home with wood, but huge amounts of slash are burnt and pollute, and we stopped field burning. How about stopping slash burning? And I'll listen on the radio. Thanks.
All right, Pam, thanks for that. Merlin, who does regulate slash burning?
Well, State Forestry here in Oregon is the agency responsible for that. Their overall plans, they are required to coordinate those with Oregon Department of Environmental Quality and also within the Board of Directors that's over DEQ, Environmental Quality Commission. So the Board of Forestry over Department of Forestry and EQC over Oregon DEQ, those are the two agencies responsible here. And I'm not an expert on this, but you know, it does interface with our planning for an area like Oak Ridge. How do we make sure that doesn't contribute to violation of standards in Oak Ridge? Generally, the slash burning is done during the fall and in the spring months. The critical period that we just talked about for wood burning, residential wood burning, is that November to February period. The plan requires, if it's a red day in Oak Ridge, it bans forest slash burning in a zone, a fairly large zone around Oak Ridge.
All right, so that is included then in the whole overall attainment goal.
Yeah, it's included there, but I understand the concerns, and you know, we and others have a great interest in better utilization of that forest slash. The governor several years ago put together a forest slash utilization task force to try to get more and more done on that front. And I, my understanding is it's just basically the economics of if it's close enough to an area where it can be utilized, then it is. But when you get further, the transportation costs are such that it's just not cost effective. But I don't claim to be an expert on that. That might be a good subject to invite somebody from State Forestry to chat with you about more of the ins and outs of that.
We have a guest after you talking about fires in the forest ecosystem. He might know something about slash burning, so we could bring that up as well. But so interesting to know, though, that it seems like the farther out in the woods, the more likely it is that that slash is going to get burned instead of used some other way.
That's my understanding.
Merlin Huff, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking wood stoves and air quality and the fact that the Oregon Department of the State of Oregon and several other states are suing the Federal Environmental Protection Agency over wood stove regulations. You can join us here at 800-838-3760 or 541-552-6782 or by email jx@jeffnet.org. Here is John in Mendocino. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Merlin Huff.
Hi. I was noticing Pam mentioned the word sacred cow, and I would add, kind of like Harleys with the loud exhaust pipes, you wonder how they can make those things. But wood stoves, to me, are made to almost guarantee that none of the heat will get out, or at least hundreds of percent of what gets out will go up the chimney. For instance, they're completely insulated. The fire brick inside, you've got 2 inches of insulation, guaranteeing that no heat will get to the metal or very little, and then you've got now insulated pipes all the way up, so most of your heat is going up, so you have to burn more wood, you know, since you're only getting a small fraction of the heat in the wood, you're having to. So the design, I mean, if you designed a heater that way, people would be up in arms, but wood stoves somehow are made that way, and I'd like to know if there's anything on the horizon to bump the efficiency a few 100%, you know, something like that.
All right. Thanks for the call, John. Appreciate it. Merlin, I don't know how much you're involved in that end of things with knowing the actual operation of the wood stoves themselves, but, I mean, in order to get a fire hotter and cleaner, are you sending some of the heat out the chimney?
Well, those are good points. And, you know, actually, I had the opportunity to work back in 83, to 85 to with the Oregon wood stove certification program. So
you helped develop the additional standards.
Somewhat familiar with that. In fact, one thing that Oregon had in its original program that unfortunately didn't stay into the national program was testing and reporting of efficiency. And the original program had labels, and including a graph of emissions over the different heat output range of the stove, as well as the efficiency of the stove over that range. And I thought that was a good tool for informing consumers on, you know, how the stoves were operated, not just from a pollution standpoint, but also from energy efficiency standpoint. But there's two major parts of efficiency. There's the heat transfer, you know, how much of the heat generated in the stove is getting into the room, and the gentleman made some good points on that front. The other part is the stack loss, and that's the unburned fuel that goes out of the chimney. If you do a good job of designing the stove to burn cleanly, then you're reducing the stack loss, that unburned fuel going out of the chimney. And but what we see generally is that when you have improved stove designs, they are doing not just reducing the emissions and reducing those stack losses of unburned fuel, but they're also designing more efficient heat transfer. The technology, when you compare it back to what it was in the 1970s, it's very impressive. But that would be a good topic to have somebody in the wood stove industry talk about, just what they're doing to improve efficiency as well. I know that in order for us to offer incentives for wood stoves replacements in Oak Ridge, we were using some Department of Energy funding, and there were some requirements they had on the efficiency of the units, and so that was part of the criteria, not just the cleanest burning, but also wood stoves that were more efficient than average.
Let us take a call. Here's Jim in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Merlin Huff from El Rapa. We're talking about wood stoves.
Yes, good morning. Pellet stoves, positive, negative? I'm curious. And another thing, we've run into a lot of people because of the economy, and you look at the ads, what, you know, a cord of wood costs. They go and volunteer to clean up construction sites to get wood to burn. That means a lot of, a little bit of everything, you know, composite woods with chemicals in it and everything. Are there any regulations about that?
All right, pellet stoves and construction site wood. Thanks for that, Jim.
Okay, pellet stoves are a good alternative. In they're certainly cleaner burning. They're very efficient. There's a big advantage of having a uniform dry pellet fuel. And so for many people, using the bags of pellets is more convenient for them, and it's certainly cleaner burning and more efficient than a typical cordwood stove. Other folks are, especially if they've got easy availability to cordwood, the cleanest burning wood stoves may still be the best alternative for them. But we've encouraged conversions to pellet stove when that makes sense. The incentives that we provided in recent years up in Oak Ridge, pellet stoves were eligible for that. Also, if somebody wanted to go to a ductless heat pump, just kind of diverging from that question a little bit, ductless heat pumps have been a new development here in recent years, and those have good application, we find, in many wood-heated homes, and they seem to be quite popular using electric heat pump technology, but in a ductless situation, more for room by room, you can install these units.
Okay, Merlin, we're almost out of time, so I want to come back to the original point of all this, which is the lawsuit from the state of Oregon and several other states against the EPA. So what you're asking the EPA to do is simply update its standards, do the review and revision process it's supposed to do every 8 years?
Yes, and that's key for not getting into standards in the next 2 years in Oak Ridge, but just the long-term maintenance of standards. Once we get down to those levels, that helps ensure that we stay within, even with population growth. And so for Eugene Springfield or Medford, Ashland, Grants Pass, or Oak Ridge, those areas staying within standards is really why we need to have that better technology identified.
All right, we'll hear more about the story down the road. Merlin Huff is the director at El Rapa. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks, Jeffrey. Thanks for the invite.